Okay, I think we're online, so welcome to anybody who's joined us online here in Bunbury. We've got a great day here, weather-wise, be amongst the saints. My talk is sort of based on feelings or thoughts I had when I first came to the Lord, and I would title it, How Come? And I got filled with the Holy Spirit about three meetings after I first came along. Baptized third meeting. Week after that, I got filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. And shortly afterwards, it's sort of these questions of, but how come? And the first question I'll put, it's got sort of two parts to it. I thought, well, how come there are so many intelligent, much more intelligent than me, disciplined, diligent people who go to church, who have a Bible, who do read their Bible, that that haven't seen or found this? You know, how come me? And how come not them, if they're, you know, they seem to be on a search where I haven't really been? You know, I've been aware that, you know, life passes very quick and what happens after you die. But, you know, I can't say I was ever really, really searching, that's for sure. So the first question, you know, how is it that these people who miss the explicit instructions, the examples, and the necessity that you can read about in the Bible to be born again? So we go to Acts chapter 10. Because it's not as easy as just reading your Bible. If it was that easy, then there'd be a lot more people that would perhaps be filled with the Holy Spirit. But the Lord hasn't done it that way. Acts chapter 8. Did I say 10, did I? Okay. So used to saying Acts 10, I think, aren't we? Okay, Acts 8 and verse 26. So the church started Acts chapter 2, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues, 120 of them. Persecution in Jerusalem with Saul, and they scattered. And part of that scattering was Philip the evangelist. So this is a story about him. Verse 26, chapter 8 of the book of Acts. And the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and join yourself to this chariot. Philip ran hither to him and heard him read the book Isaiah and said, Understandest what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom spoke this the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached to him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So we're reading here of a man, a very intelligent man, been a worshipper of God, but he was confused from what he read in the Bible. He was reading from the book of Isaiah, and Philip was able to preach to him about Jesus, about the fulfillment of the many scriptures that are in the Old Testament, of about a prophet like Moses who would come and the people would hear him. But the point I'm trying to make here is that it is by the foolishness of preaching, as we're told in 1 Corinthians. We'll look it up just very quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I've got three questions here that I wanted to sort of bring out that came to me when I first got filled with the Spirit. You know, how come, and as I say, this one is the one, how come these very diligent, sincere type of people, churchgoers, Bible readers, haven't seen this, you know? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So people look, and it goes on to say, people look for all sorts of signs. And the Lord said, by this foolishness of preaching, of you know, you've got to know it yourself to pass it on. And I think of Lynn, I was thinking of Lynn when I was writing this these scriptures, and thinking how Lynn went on this search, went through her Bible and marked, highlighted all the verses, only because she'd actually been challenged and shown how important the Holy Spirit was, how speaking in tongues played a role. So that provoked her to go searching for herself, and she found it in the scriptures as she that revelation came to her. So unless somebody will motivate you in that way, unless people come to you and like this Ethiopian eunuch said, you know, somebody's got to guide me here. I need some help here. We won't look it up, but it says in Romans 8, verse 14, how shall they hear without a preacher? How beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things, I think it goes. So the importance of having somebody tell you. Of reading through the Bible, you can just miss it. You will just not see the importance of it. And I tried that myself once when I, you know, I was at a pub at a place called Witcherproof, where the railway line runs through the middle of the street. It's only a little place, and my brother and I were up there, and they got the Bible that they have, the Gideon's Bible. And it's a time I didn't go and drink in the bar. I just thought, you know, I didn't want to that night, and I just got this Bible out, and I thought, I know it contains some, you know, some treasures in here, and started reading it, you know, Genesis. And I got five chapters in, and I thought, oh, too difficult. And so the importance of having people that know what they're talking about. Yeah, and we could also, we're not going to look at it, but natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So naturally, you know, it just does not click with us. The other part of it, of that, you know, why are these so many people who are looking into the Bible, who have a belief in God, are missing the elephant that's in the room? There will be distractors and opponents. Isaiah 28. You sort of think, unless the Lord was behind helping us in this battle, it just people would not get saved. Unless the Lord was, you know, there to assist us, there to, you know, one plants another waters, but the Lord gives the increase. Isaiah 28, verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, for whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go back and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. And in just the end of verse 12, yet they would not hear. And, you know, how you can explain as you like, and just people just don't seem to understand it. They say humans aren't as smart as they think they are. And they're certainly not as smart as God. And so they just don't get it, don't hear it. You know, why would you want to do that? And when I first heard speaking in tongues at a meeting, it didn't sort of like, wow, you know, I didn't fall over and think, man, goodness, this is powerful. I just thought, you know, why would you want to do that? It just seems, I say, the tabernacle in the wilderness with the badger skin coat, you know, it just doesn't seem to be anything that struck me as, you know, worthy of, you know, really wanting. Until it was explained to me from the Bible, until I was shown from the Bible, then it, I thought, well, you know, I do have a respect of this word. I will try it. Okay. Titus chapter 1. Titus 1. So we're still on, you know, why people miss it. They would not hear it. Probably that's associated with, you know, natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit of God. Don't expect people to sort of be nodding their heads when you're telling them about, you know, repent and be baptized and receive the Spirit and you'll speak in tongues. And it's the Spirit searching your heart, finding your weaknesses, you know. It usually takes a little bit more than that before they'll, you know, hear it. Titus chapter 1 and verse 14. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know, and that word profess is the same word as confess, that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Doesn't look like a very good scorecard, but what it means is you're disqualified. And you know what these are like in a race? If you're a bit quick off the mark, a bit too quick, and you're disqualified. You can run that race and get first, but you're disqualified. So all that effort just is not going to get a reward. And I suppose it's like the thief that enters in another way. You know, they're not doing it the way the Lord wants them to do it. And if you're disqualified, all your efforts just won't amount to anything. You've got to do it, you know, you've got to start. The foundation's got to be right before the building's going to be of any value or last any time. And one last one on this is 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll look at this, 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is in the last, that question I had of, you know, why do they miss it? 2 Timothy 3. Okay, and verse 5, in the last days we're told here, if you read previous to that, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. And verse 5, having a form of godliness, an outward show of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And I just remembered that story I read about a guy who's a woodcutter from Manjimup back in the 1940s. He came to Bunbury to buy himself a new saw for him and his mate. And he went to the store, and the guy at the store was excited because he said, oh, what you need is one of these new chainsaws that they're importing them from Canada and America. And he said, you know, you cut four times as much wood. And I said, really? And he said, you don't even need your mate to be at the other end of the saw. You can cut that much on your own. And he said, wow, that sounds excellent. And so he goes and buys two of them, carts them back to Manjimup, and he's back within a week. And he's madder than a cut snake, because he reckons that this thing can't even cut a quarter of a ton of wood. You know, I want my money back. And the salesman says, I just can't believe this. These things work really well. So he primed it up and pulled the cord. And with that, this old guy leaps out, up and out and out the front, and he's off like a shot. And he finds him out the front, and he said, what's wrong with him? He said, you know, where's that noise come from? Okay. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, you know. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. Second part of that, it was or is. Okay, I read about repent, be baptized, and receive the Spirit time and time and time again. I see the examples of what happened when people got the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues, you hear the sound of it, it's quite easy. But is there somewhere in the Bible that negates these instructions to receive the Holy Spirit? Is there, you know, okay, we read all that, but then it says just up somewhere where I haven't read yet, it says, you don't need to speak in tongues. And I thought maybe there's somewhere, because, you know, how come these people all be missing it? You know, it's so obvious. There must be something in the Bible that says that. So, you know, I go sort of looking and read the Bible thoroughly myself, couldn't find it. And my mother and a few Jehovah's Witnesses says tongues will cease when that which is perfect has come. So I had to have a close look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8. And I'm just going to read the word love here where it says charity, because charity means a completely different thing in this modern time. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 8. Love never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abides faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. You know, I don't know how many of you men have still got your train sets that you play with every day, and ladies, dressing your dolls, mums. It's something that we had. It benefited us, it benefited our parents, because they knew that we were happily involved in something that was educational. Prepared us, maybe. There's lots of things that you learn through having those train sets and those dolls. But, you know, we don't have them any longer, and they have been put away. And the emphasis on the word when, you know, when is that when? And 1 John chapter 3, well, it says, when that which is perfect is come. But what is that talking about? 1 John chapter 3. So this is part B of that question, you know, why do people miss it? Maybe there's something in the Bible that says, you know, or okay, I wrote all that, but now I'm saying no longer relevant. Okay, 1 John 3, and we're going to start in verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knew us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in himself, in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. So, you know, now are we the sons of God, but when, you know, he returns, we shall know him as he knows us, and the perfection, you know, we'll put on our perfection. We'll no longer see through a glass darkly. That's when, not when the Bible gets translated into so many different languages, and that's not the when, as I was told on one occasion. Okay. Besides all that, I'm going to just bore you with a whole heap of scriptures that say nothing changes yet with a change to, you know, repent, be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit. So it says, I'm just going to read through them, Acts 2, verse 39, for the promise is to you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Repent, be baptized, receive the Spirit's talking about. Romans 11, 29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. James 1, 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You could probably throw in Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever in that one. Jude 3, it was needful for me to write to you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Revelation 22:18. If any man shall add to these things, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in the book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. And just to finish on Galatians 1:8, for though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than that we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So don't change anything. Don't move anything is what the Lord's saying there. Question two, how come I was chosen? That sounds like question one. Okay, I know, didn't. Question two, yeah. Is, you know, how come I was chosen when there's so many better good living self-discipline? The first one was when, you know, how come so many people can miss this elephant in the room? How can that? Second one, you know, why me? I don't deserve this. You know, there's so many people. I remember one occasion when my mother got saved, I thought, I know the plan. You know, she's going to get saved and it's through me, but then I'll just drop away. You know, I'm going to be just the conduit. And I thought, and I remember sort of saying, God, no, this is not on. It's not going to work this way, you know. Because God wishes all, he doesn't wish any to perish, that's for sure. But he knows who's, you know, who belongs to him. His sheep hear his voice. Yeah, how come I should be chosen when there's so many good living people, self-disciplined, God-believing souls out there? Probably part B to that, if you're brought up in the Lord, you might sort of say, how come I should have eternal life when I was born with spirit-filled parents and I've never had to really search or separate? You might sort of fit into the same category. It's like, you know, I don't deserve it because I've been a scallywag and there's so many people that have been good people. And you might be brought up in the Lord and say, well, I don't deserve it. And I just was born into this state. And I've really never had to separate myself from, you know, the lifestyle or the bad friends or whatever it was. Or I've never really had to search. It's been there in front of me all the time. I was brought up with it. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. And you has he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, the lust of the flesh, the fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Verse 16, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So, you know, a bit out of context, but yeah, whether you're brought up in the Lord or whether you've been so far away and have not bothered, but, you know, by God's grace, you've been drawn into the fellowship, we still all come through the one way, through the one Spirit and through the grace of the Lord. That's just what saves us, and it's the faith, that continual faith that that Spirit brings, that keeps us going in the Lord. Hebrews 11, I'm just going to sort of have a look at some of these people of faith who were drawn by the Lord, and those who were sort of brought up to fulfill a role. Hebrews 11, verse 28, through faith, this is Moses, I think it is. He kept the Passover, the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, returned to flight the aliens of the enemies, armies of the aliens. And I was just looking at these people that it mentions here. Moses, he was chosen from birth, as we know, he's drawn out. Rahab, she was just a caring, practical prostitute, and she was also a winner. She just knew where the winning team, where the winning team was. Why should I die with the sinners when I can live with this invading army? Gideon, he was just a poor ordinary. It says he came from poor Manasserite, and he was questioning, you know, well, I want a sign. I want another sign. Barak, chosen as a military leader, who lacked confidence. He wanted Deborah to be there to help him, but he's mentioned here. I was wondering why Deborah didn't get the mention, but Barak gets the mention because he did. He continued on, even though he lacked confidence. He continued on. He wanted some reassurance. Samson, he was Israel's answer to Arnold Schwarzenegger, or Popeye, I suppose, and he had some miss in his character, I suppose, but he cared and dared against Israel's enemies, and he... he continued on. Jephthah, he was a rejected son of a harlot, also a mighty man of valor. David, he was chosen when young. He was brave, loyal to God, and also a prime example of how power can corrupt, I suppose, in a way. When you're young, you know, if you wanted more, I would have given you more. But again, chosen from young. Samuel was offered to the Lord by his mother, Hannah, before conception. So, you know, so there's a mix of people who, you know, had backgrounds. They didn't have good pedigrees, and they came to the Lord, achieved great things, and then there's a mix of people who were chosen for the very purpose of serving the Lord. Romans chapter 9, but by faith, by grace, and by faith, they were called and persisted. Romans 9, verse 8, that is, they which are of the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are accounted for the seed. And this is the word of promise, at that time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by her father Isaac, for the children not yet being born, neither having done good, any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calls. It was said to her, the elder shall serve the younger, and it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that wills, nor of him that runs, but of God that shows mercy. For the scripture saith to Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore has he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardens. Thou wilt say then unto me, why does he yet find fault, who has resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that replies against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Has not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honour and another of dishonour? What if God, willing to show his wrath and make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he has afore prepared unto glory? Okay, so it is, we realise that our own desire, even as Peter said, Lord, you know, I'll follow you, don't worry, I'll be with you, everybody else mightn't, and it all fell through. And the cock crowed three times, and then he realised, you know, what have I done? And then when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, it made the big difference. The Holy Spirit made an incredible difference to his ability to serve the Lord. And saying here, and it is God's calling, it's not of us that desired, not of might nor of power, but of my spirit, says the Lord. And just on this subject of, you know, why me? What have I done to deserve this? You know, just think, well, I'm just so thankful. And like those people who went up to pray, one a publican and one a sinner, and one, you know, was just so thankful. And like the women who, you know, Jesus came and washed these feet with their hair and the ointment and poured it over his head, so thankful. And that's to be thankful rather than feel we are deserving is where the Lord would want us to be. Just John 15:15 to finish off on this part of it. John chapter 15 and verse 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord does, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have known or heard of my Father I have made known unto you. And the Lord has not left this in the dark. Verse 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. So the point, we haven't chosen the Lord. We haven't by our intelligence gone seeking through the Bible and found the Lord. We would never have found it. I would never have found it. I would never have been here if it wasn't the Lord's doing, and neither would have you. And you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. You know, you can choose your friends. And that's the thing about the Lord. You know, he has chosen us. And whether we've been brought up in a family or we've been just called out in amazing circumstances, it's still the calling of the Lord. Okay, the other question I had when I first came to the Lord, how come we had Jimmy Swaggart's in my time. I don't know whether you've ever heard of him. How come spirit-filled people who are led and of the Spirit can do such absolutely dumb things? You know, I thought, when people said, oh, they're spirit-filled, and I thought, how could they, you know, how could they be such money grabbers? How could they be such prancing and dancing and look at me? And when they're spirit-filled, you know, it's just so different from what the Bible's trying to tell people. You know, the shake, rattle and roll, the Toronto blessing, prosperity preachers. Somebody wrote, you know, look before you laugh. Give to me and you will receive. And I did a little bit of searching on YouTube and I've never heard these guys before, and I thought, that is so comical, you know, what people are doing. You just cannot believe it. And Suzette said all the time, I just hope my relatives don't think that we belong to one of those types of groups, because that is embarrassing. There was one guy saying, I don't really want your money. I want to see God bless your giving heart. Just now, send $50 to me via... It is so bad. Matthew chapter 6. You might just squeeze this in. Matthew 6. And verse 2. Therefore, when you do this, thine arms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues, in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest thine arms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand does. That thine arms may be in secret, and thy Father which sees in secret himself shall reward thee openly. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when you have shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. Verse 17, but when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, that thy Father which sees in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth rust does corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And, you know, we're given examples of, was it that Elijah did the miracle and, was he, Gehazi, tried to cash in on it. And Naaman the Syrian was more than happy to part with some money. You know, he'd just been healed of his leprosy. But Gehazi ended up getting the leprosy that Naaman had because of his attitude. Do you think of Simon the sorcerer? You know, I'll pay you for this. You know, this is a great trick to have in my my bag. How much do you want, Peter? And Peter says, you know, your money perish with you. And I just sort of thinking this morning, you know, even our tithing, we can't sort of say, well, I tithe that, so I deserve, you know, this much back. It doesn't work like that. An example, many, many years ago when I first came to the Lord, we had somebody who came to our assembly in Bendigo and he said, you know, I double tithe and the Lord has really blessed me amazingly, you know, it's sort of in front of us all. And I was thinking, gee, I read the other day about, you know, this. I wonder why he's telling us all about that. And that went on for a couple of years until his whole business empire just collapsed. And he had to start from scratch again. So, as like this saying, it's good advice, you know. What should you do? And these prancing people that are telling people what they're doing and getting around in $20 million jets, which is one of them that is well known, you think, you know, it is just not what I read in the scriptures. And why is it like that? Well, you know, their heart is caught up in other things. It's not really the word of God, that the truth of the word of God that they're interested in. They've got the spirit, but they must be denying a lot of the spirit trying to prod them of what they should be doing. Jude, and we can finish on this one, Jude verse 4. I don't think the Lord laughs at it. I don't think, you know, when people are, as, you know, Jesus, as Paul says in, you know, 1 Corinthians 14 there, you know, you know, where's your love? Where's your concern for other people here? Okay, there might be people who that appeals to, you know, get rich quick type stuff. By God, you don't have to work. It might appeal to some people, but, you know, people, God must be horrified that this is going on because there are a lot of people it doesn't appeal to, a lot of people who, you know, like ourselves, you just sort of see through it even before you come to the Lord. You know, you think they're wacky and weird worship, you know, how crazy people. It's not like, because sometimes they think they're doing what David did. He danced before the Lord, and you remember Michal, Saul's daughter, said, you know, what are you doing? And he says, you know, I can't just see I'm dancing before the Lord. And, you know, they do that, they think they're doing it in that way. But when you are affecting other people in a bad way, as, you know, 1 Corinthians 14 says, talks about, and then, you know, that, and putting them off coming to the Lord, then, you know, there is error there. Okay, Jude verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God unto over desire, I think is the word lasciviousness means, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Okay, and verse 16. So, you know, why do these spirit-filled people do such crazy things when they've got the Spirit of God? As it says, as we read here, verse 16, These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaks great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember you the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you that there should be mockers, or sporting as children, as the word mockers means, in the last time, who walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not or not using the Spirit. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. So keep ourselves, you know, praying in the Holy Ghost, not be to be seen of men, but in our prayer time with the Lord. And, true worship is worship God in spirit and truth. How come people can't see the wood for the trees? How come favourites don't always win the race, and which was this Melbourne Cup happened? And how come people can't see the elephant in the room? Because humans are a lot dumber than they think they are, and God's a lot smarter. Okay, I'll leave there, hand over to Rod.